Price, and welcome to APB On the Air, the podcast of the Alliance for a Progressive Virginia. It is November 9th, and it is the day after the election, which was on November 7th. I have the APB Brain Trust here with me, and I'm going to ask everybody to introduce themselves, and we're going to I'm going to do the calendar real quick, and then we will get to breaking down all the interesting things that happened on Tuesday. On my right here is...
Kathy.
And I have APB President...
Rhonda.
Rhonda Henning.
Vance Thomas.
Vance using his radio voice, which is very nice, and it goes with the mullet.
Trying to get a job.
I don't doubt it. With a mullet like that.
That's right. It's a radio haircut.
We'll post some photographs on the Facebook page of... Vance has gone with a somewhat retro haircut that is looking absolutely fabulous.
That's right.
Alrighty. APB calendar real quick. We have a couple of events. We are in our fall fundraising craziness, and it started on Election Day.
I donated.
Kathy donated. Kathy and Vance were wonderful donators, and I donated, and Rhonda's donated, and we're all doing our part, and it's up to you to do your part. You can go to Fundly, FUNDLY.com. It's so weird that the people you have to trust with your money have like the most goofy names, but Fundly.com is handling this particular one, and our goal is $2,000. And we are around 700 right now. So we are busting butt. And I will tell you that sometimes it's a different kind of begging for money when you win than when you lose. Take it from me.
Give
money to the winners. So I would definitely ask you to get involved. You can go to our webpage, apvonline.org, and you can either donate through the webpage, or there's also a link to the fundraiser. You know, do any of that stuff. You can donate to our sister organization, Together Virginia. You can go to their website, which is togethervirginia.org, and you can donate to there. And that is a 501c3, so your donation would be tax deductible. And let's see what else. Oh, you could send us a check. If you send us a check, everything that we do, PayPal or Fundly or whatever, they take money, they skim money off the top. If you write us a check and you send it to either Together Virginia or APV at 14664, that post office box, 14664, Richmond, Virginia, 23221, a check, we get all of that. So you're not some guy who, you know, keeps his money in the Cayman Islands and runs some kind of
and nobody skims off of that.
No. Just the normal skimming.
Okay, that's what I was concerned about.
No third party.
I was
skimming.
Concerned.
Yeah, no third party skimming would happen there. So Sunday, the 12th of November. We have an event at the Camel on Broad Street, and you can see the event. It's on our website, and it's also on our Facebook page. And we have great bands featuring Los Ramones.
Who rock
very, very hard, and predictably in a Ramonesque style.
But with shiny shirts.
$10. That's $10 at the door, or you can buy your ticket in advance, so that if you do not show up, we still get your money, and I want you to do that, please. I want you to come, but I also want you to buy the ticket ahead of time so that if you don't come, we still get you. Because you never know what's going to happen. So that doors are, I believe, at 8, and the band's going on at 9, and it's a rockin' good time, and we hope that you all will come out and spend some time with us. And then on the 13th, November 13th, we have our November Salon at Helen's Restaurant. And that starts at 6:15. And we have the Virginia Interfaith Center. And we're going to be talking about Latina or Latinx, because that covers both Latinos and Latina. And we're going to be talking about those issues and things like immigration. And obviously, we're going to have more to talk about, because there was a seismic shift in Virginia on Tuesday. And so it's going to be really interesting. A lot of you were with us last November, a year ago, for the trauma session that we had a week after the election.
Mm.
And so this will be a guarded but much better party. We will be having a much better discussion. We'll be talking about good things as opposed to bad things.
We can be happy for
that. We can be a lot happier because of what happened on Tuesday.
And let's take that salon to celebrate a little. And
we
not just,
definitely
you know,
will. We definitely will. And then, of course, I mean, in December, we have our actual Christmas party. Yeah, I don't think we have to do the PTSD,
right.
You know, the stuff we've done in the past where people just, just a lot of crying and people
yelling,
pulling
screaming.
On their yelling and screaming.
I got to say, a year ago, that your rant at the salon was one of the things that got me through.
Well, when, you know, when there are hard times, you know, there are hard times, and you gotta say something. I mean, because what I wanted to say was, I'm going down to the river, who wants to come with me? And I put it for my, I'm going down two, three times, but I'm only coming up twice, you know.
Gonna drink some beers.
Yes.
Gonna go to the river and drink some beers.
Drink some beer and
build a bonfire.
Throw myself in, because that's where I'll be living, yeah. So, at any rate, yeah, it's going to be a markedly different salon in November, and I would hope that you all come out. That is at Helen's Restaurant at 2527 Main Street. It starts at 6:15. We are in our funding drive, so please bring, because we need money. So, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will begin discussing and unpacking Tuesday's elections. There's a lot to unpack, let me just say. So, we're going to take a quick break. APV on the air. And we'll be right back.
Is it PDs that goes on the end or just D's? Because it could be Odysseus. Odysseus.
I've definitely seen PDs in the
PDs
in the Greek cookbook.
Octopodos.
Okay, this is all going in. You understand that? I want people to know how learned we are.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Out of the Greek and Latin.
So we are coming back in 3, 2, 1. And we're back.
We're back.
APV on the air, the podcast of the Alliance for a Progressive Virginia. On November 9th, Thursday, we are discussing the events that occurred this week. We had an election. There were two big elections in the country. One in New Jersey, where Chris Christie, who was the most unpopular governor in America, and I believe in the
American
history of
history.
Polling. I believe in I believe he was. He polled at single digits. I believe.
That's lower than Dick Cheney.
Yes, Dick Cheney was like 19.
And he shot a guy in the face.
He may have been a teen. He may have been in the teens, but it was the low teens. You know, he was prepubescent numbers. So.
And that is saying something, because a third of America is crazy.
Just is crazy, and we'll...
yes.
Yeah. So Chris Christie was leaving anyway, and the screen door probably did hit his big butt pretty hard.
Not that we're against big butts.
I like big butts, and
I got a big butt.
I can't deny.
I'm fed you
but
that one.
That guy is
Thank
like
you
sort
so
of
much.
An...
just I don't care about his weight.
He is
it was
loathsome
a, it was just
and
a
repulsive.
Horrible, he was just such a horrible human being.
Yes. You can be Santa or you can be Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, and he was Jabba. And a sort of New Jersey Jabba the Hutt at that. So Democrat got elected. Admittedly, he's a Democrat with ties to Wall Street. But you know what? I'll take it right now. Okay? And it wasn't even close. I mean, the Republicans ran somebody, and she had been, I think she was the lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she was involved in Bridgegate and all of that. Anyway,
right.
So I'm just getting New Jersey off the table here. Dems won that. But New Jersey's mostly a Democratic state anyway, you know. But the other, and probably the more important national race that everybody was watching was here in Virginia.
Woo.
I think it's safe to say that people were looking at this and saying, is this going to be like, you know, a bellwether? What is this? And clearly, it was a referendum on the first year of the Trump presidency. There was a real question on whether or not the Dems could get their people out. There were real questions about the quality of Ralph Northam's campaign, about his tendency to scuttle towards the middle on some issues, the relative evilness of Ed Gillespie, so on and so forth. But I'm just gonna put this out for you guys. Did anybody expect what happened? Did anybody see this coming?
No.
No.
No. This is so amazing. This is where we get happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No, I was worried. I was really worried because everything has gone wrong. Everything has gone wrong for so long now. And so
there's a sort of conditioning, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I just expect to be disappointed and have my heart broken.
And you know, goodness knows, I know so many people who have been, you know, heart in the right place, sort of political spectators for so many years. And my Facebook feed has been all these people who have never really been involved out there, like, knocking on doors and running for office. And so that should have been the hint that things were going to go right.
I feel like I've seen this before. It's like, because the trouble is, too, is I'm always wondering, am I self-selecting? Because it looks, you know, it always looks to me like people are energized and ready to rock, but I don't really see... You know, I don't have, like, frankly, I don't have a lot of, you know, right-wing friends and stuff like that. I don't necessarily know what they're doing, and part of me is always going, those people always vote. They get up early in the morning, rain or shine, they get on the church bus, they go and they vote. And all my friends are on Facebook going, you know, posting their Trump memes, but how many of them are actually going to show up? We've had that again and again with Democrats. It's not a presidential election. Barack Obama's not running for office. Were people going to show up?
Yeah, and this is what I mean. People were actually out knocking on doors, and I figured with that level of work going on, we're going to lose anyway, because I was feeling depressed.
I just thought that. And, I mean, there were a couple of things. I mean, I will tell you this. I thought that the last week, I was nervous because the polls were getting tighter, but they always get tighter. I mean, that's just how that goes. But Northam had a good lead all summer and into the fall, much like Hillary Clinton. And so I kept thinking, and then it seemed like it was sorting itself out this last week. I 2 weeks ago, I was really nervous. Going into this weekend, I felt like, I think Northam's going to win. But would that mean it? Well, and part of the reason I thought he was going to win is Ed Gillespie is a tool. I wrote on Facebook, they need to run Ed Gillespie for every major public office. Because...
Right.
You should be. He's never held office. He's run and lost a series of campaigns against people who are vulnerable, and he.
But
he
you
can't
know
come
that's
through.
A plus for their base. I've never actually been a politician. Is one of the things
but
that they love.
But
they
love
commercials.
What was Ed Gillespie? He's a bag man for the Republican Party. He's Terry McAuliffe. He's basically Terry McAuliffe. So. It's not like I'm a farmer from, you know, the southeast part of the state, and all I do is, you know, love Jesus and shoot guns and grow things on my land. No, he's just a bag man for the GOP.
Well, his first commercial started out strong, you know?
Well,
like, I went to college, so I'm smart, but screw it, I didn't really learn anything in those classes from
those
liberals.
Pointy-headed
yeah,
liberals.
Yeah, that was the whole first commercial.
Well, you know, a big part of the questions were... How close was he going to get to Trump? And of course,
yeah, that was good. That's the second, fascinating. Yeah.
The second guessing, of course, is back and forth. Because I mean, I just discount what the president says because the president's a liar and a bully.
And whatever he says, he's going to say the opposite.
And he
hours.
Takes no responsibility for anything. So the morning, he's up at 3 o'clock in the morning and wherever, you know, sitting on the toilet in South Korea. And he's tweeting, Ed Gillespie, I never heard of him. You know, I mean, so no, Trump is useless. But there was a question in Virginia because how dirty was he going to get, you know? Mm-hmm. And he got fairly dirty. And, of course, he had people like the NRA who were running really bad commercials. There was a commercial, this nice, you know, attractive, nice white lady with her kid. And she's like going, I heard that Ralph Northam wants to give pedophiles access to children, just straight up, you know. And it's like, it's like, whoa. And they were running all of that crap. MS-13 was going to basically be given, you know, control over all the, all, you know, they would just be able to come to your house and take your gun.
Oh, that
and,
Northam, you know, he's take for your women. Rape. He's for rape he's and pedophiles.
Pro rape.
Nasty commercials and I mean, almost to the point where they were so over the top that they were almost funny. But
they're funny and now. They're funny now. I'm sitting there watching football, and I'm thinking, because I don't watch, frankly, because I'm an elitist, you know, and I don't watch a lot of
Northern
television.
Elitist.
Yeah,
I know, you're from Northern
elitist.
Virginia.
So I don't watch a lot of stuff, but I'm watching, like, the World Series, you know, the sportif of the, you know, the end of summer, fall, and it's just constant drum roll. And it's Ralph Northam going, I'm a pediatric, you know, I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice man. And then the next commercial is Ralph Northam has sex with children.
That's why he's a pediatrician.
Like, no. And I'm like going, that's how you lose when you spend your time going, hey, No, I've never done that. I mean, you know, if you're, there's a, the LBJ used to say, you know, if you're explaining, you're losing, you know?
Yeah.
And I, that's what it felt like. But I think, and Ron, I want to hear what you think about this. I mean, I think that this is not about Ralph Northam, who I think is a very nice man, a decent human being, and so on and so forth. He won by 10 points. He won by more, by a wider margin than any governor in Virginia since 1985. You know, that's not because Ralph Northam is like the steamroller of political good, you know, greatness.
Yeah.
He won for a reason. Don't you think? I mean,
and
that reason is orange and sits on the toilet and tweets.
Well, that is one of the reasons. And it's one of the main reasons that a lot of people became activated. And I noticed that There were more people knocking on doors than ever. I was just expecting when I woke up that morning and saw that it was raining.
Oh, the rain.
I was pretty much feeling that we were screwed. I just knew that, you know, this was going to be the end. And I dreaded going home all day long. And I got home at the end of the day. And, you know, I was expecting to be up until 11 o'clock just with, you know, 50, 49, 51, 40. And I think it was about by 8:30, they had called all three of the major races in Virginia.
It was pretty great. If you remember, I guess it was the McAuliffe race when we were all here at my kitchen table eating Greek food and watching that come in. And that went for a while. And we thought we were going to win that one too, but you're always nervous, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, again, I'm just, fingers are crossed. And again, I'm like a battered spouse, you know, at this point. I've been disappointed and abused so long by the democratic process that I was just waiting for it to go south. Normally, at about 8:30, 9 o'clock, I'm telling everybody next to me, Fairfax County hasn't come in yet.
Yeah.
Fairfax County
Get
hasn't come in
ledge.
Yet.
Get off the ledge.
No, the big suburban counties come in late. They come in late. I swear they come in late.
That was what I kept keeping into my heart. But what I did see after the polls were that black men and women came out in large numbers and voted in this election. And I think it had a lot to do with the pushback against the orange one, and it also had a lot to do with people being active and going door to door, because I have never had so many people come into my door as I've had in this campaign. And it was, I think it was also just I was a little bit disappointed in white women.
Again, went conservative.
Yeah,
51% of...
What is that about? Women? We had women out there...
You guys, I'm going to leave this to you. I always have to explain the white guy stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
No, this is on you. You ladies have to explain this.
I am.
I just say the world. My side, we're just assholes, you know. that's we just suck.
No, I'm pretty baffled by it too, because there were a lot of Democrat women who were pounding on doors. They were pounding on doors in all of the red areas in the state. And they were nonstop. And I sort of expected women to sort of come out and respond to that a little bit. But apparently some women draw back against that because they think that women like those are too bold or too radical.
Pushy.
And when I saw that statistic, I was very disappointed.
But I will also say that's statewide too. I suspect if we see that broken down, that's not going to be the case in Northern Virginia, you know, things like that. It's progress. The APV dog telling me we need to take another.
Progress has to go out.
Yes, well, no.
No, let progress out.
So I tell you what, we're gonna
go down to the river
in a minute. No, I'm having fun now. So we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll get back to that point. Because like I said, I think that you're gonna see that the problem is that the state is still split demographically. The rural communities, in white men and white women in those rural communities, are voting on cultural, you know, social warfare issues at this point. And so gendered is not an issue. A lot of those ladies, they were happy to cast those votes. That's just my opinion. So, APV on the air. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Talking about the demographic shift, I think it was like 51-48, which is not, I mean, you know, it just means they broke about even, you know.
True.
But so I mean, I saw people like going, well, this is the patriarchy somehow, you know, they're forcing these women to vote. I don't know that it's. I think a lot of those women are fine with it. I think there are things that they were fine with.
Yeah. Well, also, we're talking about the downer side. Let's talk about the happy stuff. Yeah. There is a lot to celebrate here.
So, yeah, true. Let's work our way through this. First,
yes.
I want to talk about
the downer side.
Well, it's that mullet. The mullet speaking.
The good part about women is that more women ran in this election in Virginia ever, and they won. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so sweet. Well, except one woman. Jill Vogel lost, and you'll remember, some of you listening will remember Senator Vogel. She introduced the ultrasound bill, which she has been backtracking on for the last what, 5 years, but apparently did not backtrack enough. So Jill is one of the ladies who did not do so well. And we got Justin Fairfax, prosecutor from Northern Virginia.
Yes.
And he will be the second African-American lieutenant governor in Virginia history. So that will be fun. And congratulations to Justin Fairfax, who ran a great campaign. That was the thing, too. I thought, okay, Ralph Northam, I think, is going to win. But, you know, does it? Will it carry down ballot? And it did. Mark Herring was reelected as Attorney General. Mm-hmm. And these are really important good things, because not only is Mark Herring good at Attorney General from our point of view, but we're going to need him for instance, if someone at the federal level has committed some kind of statewide crime in, say, Northern Virginia in their house that involves money laundering, and let's say the federal prosecutor has been fired, and you could conceivably you would like to have somebody who could help out with that, and I think Mark Herring would be the guy to do it. He's led a bunch of suits at the federal level. So,
yeah, he's been very much a leader.
So yeah, this is really good. We maintained. We still have complete control of and this is, you know, I mean, the Democrats have now elected 4 out of the last 5 governors. This is the second time they've run the table on statewide offices, and both of our senators are Democrats. The only place where we see a discrepancy is in Congress, where we have a 7-4 Republican split, and it's not 8-3 because the courts recognized gerrymandering in the 4th district,
mm-hmm.
and when they addressed that, we were able to elect Don McEachin, mm-hmm. and so now it's 7-4, but it probably ought to be something like 6-5 or 5-6, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we gerrymandering is something we'll be talking a lot about in the time to come. So now, let's move to down ballot. Rhonda mentioned the General Assembly. Now, again, I kind of thought Ralph Northam would do okay. I got to tell you, I thought the Democrats would pick up a couple of seats.
You said 4 if we're lucky.
Yeah, if we're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the Democrats have 34 seats. They couldn't lose many more. You know what I mean? There just weren't that many more to lose. And the Republicans had some low-hanging fruit. And it was and there was Donald Trump and stuff, and Republicans were expecting to lose some seats. And then that wave,
it was a rout,
kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it was just the most bizarrely wonderful thing. Here in Richmond, Manoli LaPasi was removed by our friend Dawn Adams.
Yay, Dawn!
Dr. Dawn Adams. She will be the delegate from that district, righting a wrong that's needed to be righted for some time. Of the 15 seats that the Democrats picked up, 11 of them were women.
So amazing.
Just rocking. And and of the 15 seats that the GOP lost, every one of them was a white man. I mean, I posted a picture on Facebook, and it's all of them, and they're all sort of silver-haired white men. And then the people who removed them, two Latina delegates in Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
There's and I'm getting to her. I'll be there in a second. There's just, like as I said, 11 women.
There's a white guy who's a socialist.
Who's a Democratic socialist.
Democratic socialist.
A guy who got an A+ rating from the NRA was defeated by the boyfriend of the journalist who was murdered on television,
yeah.
who took on that fight and removed him. And then, and I went to, I'm going to, I'm setting the page here.
Moment of silence.
In the area around Manassas and Prince William County, the Republicans lost 6 seats. They used to control that entire area from Dale City and Woodbridge down through Manassas, all of that. Prince William, they lost, I think, 6 seats in that area. The area is completely cleaned out. And one of the things that was cleaned out was an old friend of the Alliance for Progressive Virginia, Delegate Bob Marshall. Now, anytime that you would tell me that Bob Marshall lost his bid for re-election, I would go, yeah, that's a good thing. I'm very happy. But would anybody here like to explain the circumstances of his defeat?
For the people in America who have been under a rock. Because I was on Facebook and you know, every headline was Bob, you know, man who introduced bathroom bill defeated by transgender woman. You know, it was the headline in every news outlet. It was just too good.
It's like you couldn't write that up.
No.
It's the same, like, you know how last year we were sitting there going, It's just too on the nose. You can't elect a grifter billionaire, you know, to be president. It's like
right.
That would be like a bad movie, you know. I mean, no one would, and it has been. I mean, no one would look at that screenplay and go, "Yeah, you got to change this. This is just too obvious."
Yeah.
If you were to say, "Well, here's what we'll have," you know, we'll have the guy who described himself as the state's chief homophobe,
yes,
defeated by Danica Rome, who is a transgendered woman.
Congratulations,
just
Danica.
And I want to point out, she beat his ass.
Not even close.
I mean,
oh my God.
It
oh
was just
God.
Incredible. This was not a squeaker or anything. I do not believe he has done a concession speech. I think he acknowledged, but he will not acknowledge that Ms. Rome is a woman. So he has, throughout the campaign, he would misgender identify her. He would identify her as a man.
Problem with the word misgender?
Well, what I mean is,
I think it downplays the great assholery of not calling somebody what they are.
Yeah,
you
misgender would be very tame and polite, and it's like,
you have a little piece of food on your face or something, you know? It's like, quit being a fucking asshole and call the person by their proper gender.
It was obviously intended to demean and to belittle.
Exactly.
But and I think now Delegate-elect Rome was asked what she how she would deal with Marshall, and I thought
Major
her.
Burn.
I thought he's my constituent now. So
yes, I would never say anything bad about a constituent.
About one of my constituents.
That's a level of class
exactly. And comportment, just
respect.
Absolutely remarkable.
Obviously
that's the cherry on that
so
particular
smart.
Cake.
So smart.
And the level of listening to her prospective constituents that was just, that is what won her the race. She was talking about fixing roads, and that is what people wanted.
Yeah.
And they kept, you know, and that is what she campaigned on, and that's what she won on.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the fact that she beat the crap out of Bob Marshall.
Yeah. I mean, Bob has been a culture warrior. Bob, and I will say, well, you know what's interesting, mm-hmm. too, is that of the Republicans who lost, he will probably be the least missed by actual Republicans. They were not that fond of him in the legislature. Bob believed in the things that he believed in, and he was not a politician. So when the GOP would like him to shut up and sit down, he would not shut up and sit down, you know? So they will not miss him. He was not a good follower. But he was a culture warrior, and that's what he did. He didn't pass other legislation. He antagonized a bunch of people, so he was ripe in some ways for this to happen. But I want to drop some factoids on you. So the Democrats all had, I mean, there are going to be some very close races we're going to talk about. But at the statewide level, I mean, Northam won by 10 points, Fairfax won by 140,000 votes, Herring won by 170,000 votes. Those are comfortable victories.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In the House.
And I think it's interesting that the gap gets bigger as you go down.
A 66-44 margin was erased. Part of this is because the Democrats ran candidates.
Exactly.
2 years ago, they ran 26 candidates in that cycle. They ran 90 in contested races this year.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. They targeted 9 seats. They won all of them. Again, ran the table on the seats they looked after. They picked up 6 more on top of that. Let's see. I mean, there are 5
Yay!
Districts that we're still waiting on that are less than 1%. 3 are controlled by the GOP, 2 by Dems. Right now, according to the VPAP, it's 51-49. Some of those seats have been called, but the margins are so low. In Yancey's seat in Newport News, that is 12 votes the last time I looked. So it just, we have no idea. Honestly...
Yeah, I saw it said 13 earlier today, I think.
So, 15 to 16 seats. 15 seats. Progress. Time is flying on us. That is, of course, Progress, the APV time dog, telling me that we need to take a break.
The tiny bladder time dog.
Yeah, he's... but he is...
I swear that
good,
dog has to go out every 15 minutes.
He's a good dog. Thank you, progress.
Literally
thank you. Every 15 here's a milk bottle. So I'm going to finish this and we'll take a quick break. Some of the people who went down, Rome, she won by 9 votes. I mean, not 9 votes, by 9 points.
Yeah,
9 percentage points.
Yeah.
It's just remarkable.
That's enormous.
And then there are some other people who've been there a long time. Scott Lingenfelter is gone. Scott Lingenfelter.
Bye-bye,
oh,
Scott.
Oh, my God. Dave Albo is gone.
Bye, Albo.
Dave Albo. You may remember Dave Albo, who during the ultrasound controversy claimed that his wife had somehow had the only reason he was going to vote to strip out the ultrasound stuff was because his wife was like tapping her foot in the kitchen, making him do it.
Oh yeah.
Dave's gone.
Was he the one who was ranting and couldn't say vagina? One
yeah, Dave
was up
like
there. You know, all I hear on the news is V this and V that. It's vagina. It's a body part. It's not a dirty word.
Tim Hugo, he's in Republican leadership. He's from Manassas. He won by 115 votes. That's close enough to get, there'll be a recount there. Bill Howell, the old Speaker of the House, his old seat, the Republicans control that by 84 votes. That is a safe seat. Speaker of the House should not be a difficult seat. 84 votes. Three districts alone are separated by 221 votes. Just absolutely remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as across state. I mean, I was saying, Prince William, they took a beating in Prince William. They also lost in a lot of the Exburgs. Tag Greeson, who's a fairly moderate Republican up by Dulles, he lost. Rick Anderson in Manassas lost. LaMunyon lost in Western Fairfax. Dudenheffer, Marshall, Lingenfelter, all Prince William. Scott Yost in Roanoke took a beating. Minsho out in Winchester got whipped.
Wow.
Just incredible. And when we get back, we're going to ask them, I'm going to move to my next question, which is, and this is sounds like an odd question, but who won? Okay? I mean, I think we can move on from the joys of the individual victories and the large thing, but what can we start to take away from this? So we will be back in just a second. This is APV on the air. President Rhonda Henning.
Hey.
The inimitable Vance Thomas beautiful, beautiful hairdo. You are a vision.
A sight to see.
You are party in the business up front.
I wish everybody could be here.
In the back. I do too. We don't have enough beer. We'd have to get more.
There's enough haircut to go around though.
And of course, APB stalwart Kathy Walker. So. Yes, I mean, we could talk easily, we could do the rest of the night just, like, talking about all the races and the coolness of all this. Again, none of us, I don't think anyone, you know, Larry Sabato or any of these people, nobody thought this was going to happen. The Dems who came in, this is going to be a really progressive group of Democrats, you know, because it was already a pretty progressive group, because they had whittled all of the, you know, over the last, let's say, 10 years, they'd whittled all the moderate Democrats out. You know, they aren't there anymore. You know, people like Johnny Janot or people like that.
I want to jump in here. I want to jump in and say people who are saying, oh, you know, this will be great as long as they remember to tack to the center. Shut up. Shut up. there is nothing about this victory that says tack to the center. These are all progressives. These, you know, we have diversity. We have people of color.
Yes.
We have LGBT people. The people who put them in office are putting them in office based on what they promised to do, which was not tack to the center. It was, they were offering up very practical agendas, and they were offering up very left agendas. And people were voting based on healthcare, and they were voting on things like potholes and school systems and, you know, come make day-to-day life
better.
Mm-hmm. Leave aside the really divisive identity politics. I think the electorate showed that they will embrace people of all identities if they will just fill in the potholes.
Right. and not support neo-fascists and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. I think this was a rejection of everything that happened in Charlottesville.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have all this anti-immigrant stuff, and Virginia, we had a bigger election than a lot of places, but nationwide, so many people who were not born in the United States who are American citizens got elected.
Yeah.
So,
yes,
yep.
Many people, and so many people of color, and so many people who are gay or lesbian or transgender got elected. It's really a rejection of the politics of division.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a rejection of identity politics. I think it's an acceptance that Americans come in all different races and shapes and sizes and sexual orientations. And I really see it, you know, it's an embrace of the American ideal of inclusion.
Yay!
Yay! Yeah. Yay us!
But I will also say this. It's clearly a referendum on Trump.
Definitely.
And I mean, because if Hillary Clinton had won last year, this would not happen.
No.
This is people, frankly, there's a lot of ladies from the Women's March, and we've seen, heard stories,
mm-hmm.
who went to the Women's March in January and came back and ran for office and won, and did it against men who were dismissive and who were buttheads all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is payback, you uh-huh. know? And if Mrs. Clinton had, I'm just going to say, if she had won, then there's a decent chance that Ed Gillespie would be the governor, but a decent chance that Democrats would have maybe even lost seats, for all we know, you know?
History would say that.
Because people have a chip on their shoulder, and if I were a Republican right now, the thing that would make it harder to get up in the morning is that the day after the election, Donald Trump is still the president, and he will be the president probably for the next 3 years, unless he is removed from office, or, strokes out on the golf course or whatever, and he will not stop being Donald Trump. And he is the stone in the shoe of progressives and Democrats. And every day he reminds you why we hate him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets removed, you know, there's a sense that some people would go back to sleep because Mike Pence is this, you know, this anodyne, race Bannon looking piece of crap.
Oh, he's so scary.
But Trump is like, no, look at me. I'm over here. I'm over here ripping up a picture of Martin Luther King, or I'm over here, you know, kicking a lesbian. You know, it's like, it provokes this response.
And he is a poo-throwing monkey.
Yeah,
I mean, he really is.
You know, this is not a bad thing right now. The other thing that's interesting, too, is that, you know, this was a landslide. And what the Democrats got out of this was parody.
It was a mandate.
You know? Yeah.
Okay, and this gets back to tacking. Because you don't tack when the wind is blowing your way.
Mm-hmm.
And the wind is blowing to the mm-hmm. left right
this is
now.
Like Mr. Sailor
you go
Man.
With it, you know? Go
yeah,
with
true.
It.
That's
go
fair.
With it.
We have to keep going.
You know?
Yeah.
Go
left.
The wind is
man.
Blowing left. Go left.
Yeah.
The best part about this whole election is that Northam will have the power to veto or approve any redistricting in Virginia, and that is something that needs to be looked at,
mm-hmm.
because gerrymandering is an issue, and it is the reason why Democrats didn't run in certain districts for many years, is because there was just no way a Democrat could even win in certain districts. It took Trump for a lot of Democrats to actually come through and say, hey, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm running against this guy. Now is my chance. And
I mean, waves recede.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Waves go up the beach, and then they would recede.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do, we have to try so hard to keep people energized.
Exactly.
And what we'll be talking about at the salon on Monday is the fact that people got to keep up with this. You can't go, oh, job done. A delightful trans person beat Bob Marshall. My job here is done. I can go back to, you know, whatever it is. No, no, no. You've got to keep at this.
I hope this was just enough of a victory to keep people going, though, because it was the State House. And I think a loss here, people would have just gone home and gone back to bed and, you know, checked in 4 years to see if it had gotten better.
Yeah.
And I think that little bit of forward momentum, but this is at the state level. We need to do this at the congressional level because, you know, nobody likes Congress.
Mm-mm. No. Well, Bob Goodlight announced today. Bob Goodlight is head of the Judiciary Committee, which would handle impeachment if that were to come up. Has announced that he will be retiring at the end of this term. Bob is not that young a man. I mean, not that old a man. But he was running out of... The Republicans had set term limits on committee chairs. And he was going to get turfed out of his committee chair.
Oh.
I think that's... He didn't want to be... You know, that's a cherry thing to have had.
Oh, yeah.
So he would have just gone back to being a congressman, basically. So he's out. But that is the Shenandoah Valley... That is Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
We have some APV members in Stanton who should think seriously. I'm thinking of two people actually. If they could run in tandem. If they could run in tandem. Just saying that the Congresswomen Spencers, the Spencer Congresswomen, if they could just like have like two heads, you know, they just have like one set of clothes.
Why? Well, anyway. I stopped paying attention for a second. I don't know what happened. I was flipping my hair.
It's the mullet.
Had to be
there.
Every now and then it's got to be.
But that's a district that it's tough. It seemed like a safe district for Republicans. It will be a little bit different come 2018. Barbara Comstock, who held on to her seat in Congress by the skin of her teeth last time, is going to get a serious stroke on her. Northern Virginia is just is bright blue now.
Yeah.
So she is, you know, she is deeply, deeply vulnerable. But the other side of it too is, like I said, waves go up and they come back down the beach. We won some seats in places that Democrats don't normally win.
Mm-hmm.
And remember 2006 and 2008 with Obama, with the nadir of the Bush administration and Obama. The Democrats won a lot of seats that they don't in places they don't normally win, and then lost them 2 years later.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Right.
So we can't take this for granted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And I will tell you that, for instance, I don't think that that Delegate-elect Rome needs me to tell her that, like what Kathy just said, she needs to work on bread and butter, nuts and bolts issues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she has in no way said, well, I'm going to be a transgender warrior, and I will do nothing but bring trans bills, to, you know, transgender bills.
Does
stuff
she play
like that.
In a heavy metal band?
I have seen photographs of her.
Oh my gosh,
in a,
she's so
I mean,
wonderful.
That would be so cool.
I think that she's very smart.
That is
my impression.
Well, she ran a hell of a campaign. I mean, I'm going to assume that.
I'm getting all fangirl here. Sorry, but just
when is she going on tour? That's
what
I want to know.
I will tell you. Here's one of the things I want to say. In January, APB will do our lobby day at the Capitol.
Woo!
I assume that one of the things that the Delegate-elect Rome is going to have to deal with is being a rock star and having people want to take their pictures with her constantly. But
sure.
I guarantee people who come to the APV lobby day, I will get your picture taken with Delegate Rome. I will make that happen.
Awesome.
So
woo! Lobby day this year.
Put that down. Yeah, this is going to be a good lobby day.
Yes.
You know, I don't think people understand. I'm very proud of the work APV does. And we have worked hard at the GA. But we have always worked in an environment in which Republicans have complete control of the legislative process. We will probably bring legislation this year that we've brought in the past, but we haven't brought recently because we felt like we were just like Sisyphus. We were just pushing it up the hill and then it would roll back on us. And I don't know that it'll pass, but it's going to be a completely different environment.
Yes.
We're going to be able... Here's something else. Ralph Northam is going to be able to pick the Board of Health. So Trapp is still going to be off to the side for another 4 years.
Good.
But, and this is really important, Trapp is still on the books, right? So one of the things we want to do, I don't think we can get it off the books, but could we modify it? Can we start tinkering with that language and maybe take some of the fangs out of it? Mm-hmm. Because it's a piece of crap, you know?
Yes.
We don't have enough. We don't have the power, for instance, to get the marriage ban out of the Constitution. It's in the Virginia Constitution.
Mm.
But we can at least start to hack away at stuff like that. And it all doesn't have to. It doesn't have to all be cultural war stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think we can get. We can look at education and
maybe
pipelines would be really interesting.
Yes.
APB came out against the pipelines, and we still are. And we expressed our disinterest and displeasure with the pipeline project to candidate Ralph Northam. We will be making ourselves heard in the coming months. My thing about that too is interesting. There are a couple of places I know Ralph Northam. I mean, I've met him and talked to him, and he's a smart, reasonable fellow. He's pretty centrist. He's moderate.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know politically why Ralph Northam would want to tack to the center.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who is he helping? Who is he appealing to? You know, one, he's not going to be governor again. He only gets one term, right? Oh, progress.
Your dog wants back in now.
It's all right. That's progress, the APV timing dog, telling me that we want to take our final break, and I will after I finish this sentence. I think that Northam is in an interesting spot. He doesn't have to tack to the center, because that's not where the party is. You know, there are going to be lobbyists, and there are going to be some corporate interests and stuff going, oh, don't mess with stuff. But I think, you know, people are worried about, for instance, his take on sanctuary cities, right? He said something about, I'm not, you know, I don't think he's going to do anything about sanctuary cities. Why would he? Why would he go out of his way to do that? Also, he won't see a bill. I guarantee that an anti-sanctuary bill is not going to come out of the General Assembly this year because the Democrats will bottle it up. So he's never going to, ideally, he's never going to have to see that bill. And if he vetoes it, he's not going to get hurt by that.
Correct.
So, I mean, I think it'll be very interesting to see how he does this. I know that his opinions about the pipeline are complicated. They tend to be about jobs and things like that. I don't think he is so much in the pocket of Dominion as some people want to paint him, but he's certainly, you know, Dominion.
A pipeline is going to hurt children.
It's going to hurt a lot of children.
Our entire water supply because pipelines leak.
I think that we can. I think that there is room to make a principled run at Ralph Northam and at the Democrats in general. Because, again, I think that we're going to have a pretty progressive House and a fairly progressive Senate. I don't think they're going to stand for stuff. And I think they're going to... They don't owe Ralph Northam anything. A lot of these are people who are new, who are they came into the Democratic Party specifically because of Hillary or because of Trump or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not, like, lifer politicians. And they don't necessarily owe him anything. And hopefully we can stand up. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we will come back and wrap this up on APV On the Air.
I want to hear you rap.
On the Air. Walker, and we are dissecting the remarkable results of Tuesday's election, in which Democrats basically, they had been down, they had only a third of the General Assembly, they now control half of it at least. They have swept all the statewide offices and just laid the wood in general to our friends in the Republican Party.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am?
laid the wood to him.
Yes, that's a political term. It's a political term. It's a term we use in politics.
I feel like if the Republicans had suddenly gained another 14 seats, that they'd be feeling so energized, they'd demand all women take their vaginas out and,
And hand them over.
And hand them over or something like that.
We can fix that in post-production.
We're being a little cautious here. Yeah, we are being a little cautious, and we need to, we're like, the pendulum swings and the waves recede.
Well,
blah, blah, blah.
I agree that we should do it. They should be bold.
Surf the waves.
Strike while the iron is hot, as they say.
Absolutely.
The people have spoken.
Worried though that people are going to expect that all the wrongs will now be righted. And that's just not going to happen because they don't have the votes to do that.
Right.
What's going to happen at the General Assembly is that the conversation is going to be completely different. I mean, we're going to have real discussions about these issues, and that is remarkable. 15 new people. That means all these committees are going to be different. They're going to have good Lord, if the Democrats actually got control. And I want to go into that, by the way. It really looks at best that they would get a 50-50 split.
But I think I was at the point of just saying kick ass, take names.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm rock on. I think that's they need to keep that momentum going. I think that there are definitely a group of people who were energized and who voted, who are going to expect nothing less from them. But I will also say that people have to understand that the way it's made, all they did, this massive, victory, all it did was get them close to even, We do not now, and they go, but we control the governorship and all of that. Governor of Virginia is not that powerful a position, What we have is similar to what we've had in at the federal level. What we're probably going to have is a certain amount of gridlock. Now, the difference is that for instance, in Virginia, they've got to pass a balanced budget, and that's a biannual budget that they have to pass. In the federal government, they can just sort of limp along, which is what we've done for more than a decade.
Yeah.
So Virginia, there will have to be some cooperation. If it ends up being 50-50, and like I said, my opinion is it'll probably end up with Republicans controlling it by maybe a seat or two, which will be fairly remarkable because they will have to do real legwork to actually exercise control. There's all sorts of stuff that happens at the committee level where votes get taken while people aren't there and things like that. If they want to table bills, if they want to PBI bills, things like that, they're going to have all their people in the room at the same time. You can't, get up and walk off and, and come back and stuff like that and know that the other 20 people on that committee will have your back. They're going to have to do real work.
They have had so much power for so long that they are legislatively flabby.
Interesting. Yeah. Also, they lost Bill Howell, who, whatever you may think of him, Bill Howell ran a tight ship. Poor Kirk Cox, who had expected to step in as Speaker of the House, now might be the Speaker of the House by the thinnest of margins. But yeah, the other thing we were saying is if it were 50-50, there's nothing in the Virginia Constitution that explains how they would divide up power. Who would be the Speaker of the House? Who would set committees? Things like that. What they've done in the past when they've had a 50-50 split is that they have cooperated and had shared power. So you had, equal numbers of people, equal numbers of people on, on committees. You might have had a situation where the Speaker of the House because technically a session is 2 years between, so maybe the first session the Democrats would get the speakership, and then the second session the Republicans would, or back and back and forth. But I don't know. I mean, this is a GOP that is not the idea. I would assume that the idea that they would have to share power or something like it is just absolutely anathema. I mean, that was just not on the radar when they went to vote on Tuesday. So
if
that will be really interesting.
If they thought that they were ever going to be in this position, they would have acted a lot better over the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of payback coming. And God knows if Democrats actually got control of some of these committees. Because the GOP's just been high-handed as all get out now for a long time in committee. It's like, you don't get to talk. You don't get to testify.
Yeah.
Your people drove all the way from blah blah blah. Well, we don't have. Everybody gets
a
minute.
We had a special session at 7 a.m. and got rid of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. No yeah. We're gonna We're gonna tell you at the last minute when you're even though we know that you have witnesses driving in from other parts of the state, we're not going to tell you when that bill is going to be coming up until the night before, you know. So yeah, no, they've got some comeuppances.
Douchey.
Obviously, I don't know that it's a great idea for Democrats to behave like Republicans. It would be better if this was a more civil legislature.
Yeah.
But
civil,
at the same time,
but you don't have to be really super nice.
No,
you
don't.
Either,
you
know, just get your stuff done and let them go cry in a corner.
The first day of the session, they swear in the new members, and that is going to be a party. That is going to be absolutely wonderful.
What day is that? I want to take off work and come party.
It's the second Wednesday in January, so whatever that is. I think it's the 10th. I think it's the 10th this year. So, I mean, it's going to be really, really good, and we have a lot to be proud of. We have a lot of work to do. APV, I guarantee you, will be doing a lot of work, because a lot of things that there's no point in doing that. There's going to be gun legislation. I guarantee there's going to be good gun legislation. There's going to be...
I did not enjoy being an NRA target state this election cycle.
This wasn't a lot of fun.
I am glad that they spent all that money for nothing, though.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. Bye-bye, NRA money.
Oh, it's not going anywhere. There's going to be plenty more where that came from.
Oh, yeah.
But... Gobs. And also, the gun stuff might not win.
Here's
a question, and I don't have an answer, and I want to hear what you think. I mean, historically, what the Republicans do when they lose is they double down.
Yeah.
And Democrats tend to shift over, scuttle over to the middle.
Yeah. We can't go any more to the middle. We're going to pass Reagan.
Yeah.
We're going to pass Reagan in the middle at some pretty soon.
We need to go back to the left.
Back to the left.
Nixon was a bit to the left of the Democratic Party.
Why are people
afraid
of going left? It's not that scary of a place to be.
It's really not.
I'll say this. If you win elections and you keep winning elections, you will see it. You know, I mean, that is a big... That's why people have got to keep their eye on the ball going forward. And that means that you've got to... When the GA comes, you've got to contact your member. You've really, really got to get after them. And APV will be there. We will be there to say, this bill is coming up. You need to call your delegate. You need to call your senator and tell them no. Or you need to call your senator and tell them yes.
Come with us to Lobby Day.
Come with us to Lobby Day. We do donuts and we eat. Although it'll really be interesting too, because in the midst of this big change that we're having, they've got to get a lot of donuts. But also, the GA, the GA building is closed because they're going to demolish that.
They're building
a new GA building, so everything's been moved over to the Patrick Henry building and stuff like that. I don't know where anybody's offices are. It's going to be nutty. You know, it's a long session.
Donate
to
APV because our donut budget just doubled.
Our donut budget went up.
And we don't know where we're going.
Yeah, this going to take, which will make us hungry for more donuts because we'll be walking around a lot.
In the rain, because it always rains.
It always rains or snows.
Always.
But, I mean, we also will have probably a better handle on when the legislation is moving and stuff like that. Yes, come down. This is, you know, sometimes you go down there and it can be a little depressing. Because you go down and it's like, this is a bill we don't like, but we have no power over it. Mm-hmm. We have the ability to we will actually be able to lobby people this session, because, and we don't know this, and this is what's scary, because this is what I've been going back to, is what are the Republicans going to do? They, you know, the people who were considered sort of reasonable, moderate Republicans just lost.
Yeah.
You know? People like LeMunyon or Minshew or
Some of the
Greeson
crazy ones lost,
They were guys that you might go to try to convince this is a bad idea or something like that. They're gone. So, I mean, that's good. That is still a good thing. But the people who are left are going to go, the Lord's telling me to double down on this. I could see them just basically digging their heels in and making everything really hard.
What do you... We started with this an hour ago. What do you think the relationship between Gillespie and Trump and the election was?
I think it was enormous. Like,
I think it was too. It's really interesting though, seeing. I mean, because he didn't directly connect himself.
Well, they begged him not to.
Yeah.
He didn't. He never came. He didn't do any of his Trump rallies in Virginia or anything like that.
And Northam's commercials connecting him to Trump seemed to have been pretty effective.
Well, they worked on me.
Yeah,
I mean,
because
I don't think that I don't think anybody changed. I think that this is about turnout. It's about get out the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that while we were chastising white ladies, I think that that the Clinton loss and the impact it had on a lot of women around the state, and then Donald Trump's irritant factor got a lot of people to come out. You know, I think a lot of people said, enough of this, I need to cast a vote.
But then that relates back to Gillespie and
Gillespie
negatively voting.
He's also a terrible candidate. I mean, can anybody tell me anything about Ed Gillespie except that he's a Republican bagman, you know?
Lobbyist.
Oh, we're talking about
In the writer Enron of the Red Map, the Project Red Map.
He was we didn't write it himself, but he was one of the people who started that project. But he has no personality.
Oh, okay. So
you know,
the one of the things we were talking about afterwards was that he won 43%. Was that right, of the vote?
Oh, across the state?
Yeah.
I think, percentage-wise, it was 54...
46.
46,
It was a sizable defeat.
And I'm assuming a lot of Trump supporters voted for him. You know, and as we've seen across the country, they represent about, seems to be 33%, roughly 35% of the vote right now. And if it's, you know, if it's somewhat mirrored in the state and he got that, he got those votes, that means he only got 10% of the other Republicans.
Yeah, I don't know.
He
I
got
mean,
the Trump base.
If he got the Trump, if you take out the Trump base, you know, then it only leaves him 10-11% of other Republicans that I'm not even sure that they were very fired up about it.
I don't think they were super fired up. I mean, the other thing is, even if you were a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, let's say you're not a cult of Trump person, then Trump is really depressing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because you have to explain to people why he's still better than Hillary,
so
or
once
he's still
again,
this,
you
or whatever.
Know, the...
So I think that Trump. I think Trump suppresses the sort of reasonable
votes and independence. As we talked about earlier, you know, these are Republicans, in my understanding of a lot of their voting habits, always vote. They always come out and vote.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and
I
it appears to me that a lot of them didn't this time.
I don't know. I haven't
it's hard to say.
And I haven't compared it to, say, McAuliffe versus, who did he run against? Jeez.
Was that the Cooch?
The Cooch. Yeah, McAuliffe, Cuccinelli. I haven't compared the things. But I don't think the GOP turnout was that much lower. It's that the Dems showed up, and we saw this in the primaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, heading
did some of their numbers switch?
They were enormous. They were the Democrats had almost twice as many people voted in the primaries. You know, mm-hmm. part of that is that Tom Perriello was a strong candidate too.
Correct.
But I mean, I think Donald Trump made people ready to vote, and people were looking for an opportunity to vote, and are going to be and in a year from now they're going to be looking for an opportunity to vote. This should be the lesson. I mean, this is what I was begging people going in. It's like, just should I have to explain to you why why your vote counts? And think about the fact that it's 221 votes separate Democrats and Republicans in three districts. If enough people had shown up, They could comfortably swing it. So I'm not chastising people. I understand at this point it's what it is. I mean, we have a lot to be proud of and a lot to be glad about. But going forward, you can't go, well, that's done, and now I'm going to go back to my garden or something like that. We've got to stay at this. So that was Progress, the APV Time Dog, telling me that we have come to the end of our podcast. I will now take this to the editing room, and I will take out a number of the swear words that I use, but not the swear words that Kathy or Vance or Rhonda use. I want to thank you all. Come on out to our event at the Camel on the 12th. Come on out to our salon on the 13th. You can find that information on our website, on Facebook. We are in our fall funding drive. We need your help. We need to buy a lot of donuts. We need to...
For the staffers in the offices, we're not eating the
I can't. I'm on this low-carb diet.
And you're looking good.
There are no carbs in donuts.
Nothing.
What are you talking about?
That's just the mullet.
Especially when they're
gifts.
No.
Yeah. I want to thank my guest, APV President Rhonda Henning. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me here.
Because we elected a president, a lady president in 2016. I want to thank Vance and Kathy. We will be back, I'd like to say next week, but as anyone who is following the podcast knows, it might be next week or the week after, or it might even be a week after that, because we are actually super busy. If you are an APV member and you're interested in getting involved with the organization, you can find more information about us at apvonline.org. And if you are a member, you could be on the podcast talking to cool people like I just did. So join us and get involved. Pat yourself on the back, because you really should. If you voted in this election, we made some history. Somewhere in China or South Korea, there is an orange man whose things got a little bit harder for him.
It's like, it's getting really weird.
Things got a little harder for him than they were. The point I made earlier is after Virginia, it is going to be a lot easier for some Republicans to walk away from Donald Trump, because he is poison. Not only is he national poison, he is poison for Republicans. Who do not live in the craziest parts of the country. And our next time, with all the stuff we couldn't talk about because we were enjoying talking about the election, we didn't talk about the sex scandal over Roy Moore, which is just a horrible thing to even think about, of Roy Moore's
nasty
underage sex, everything. We didn't talk about, I don't know, I've got some, well, the fact that the noose continues to close in the Mueller investigation. It can't happen fast enough. Let's see, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know, join us next time, and we will talk about more stuff like that. This is Scott Price, APV on the Air. Thank you so much. Good night.